who seem not to be at all concerned about wealth inequality. I mean, it's like implicit in what they're fighting for. I mean, I'm thinking now of people who opposed income tax in Washington, I think it was, you know, to help bail out failing schools or whatever it is. I believe it was a school-based initiative. The presumption there is that you really have nothing to lose by wealth inequality increasing to some crazy asymptote. What is the end game there? You're going to live in a compound ringed with razor wire, and you know you'll need an armed guard to go everywhere. And there's a kind of insular notion of wealth, which it doesn't depend on having happy, creative people out there on the street when you go out to get your coffee. But I mean, clearly, we're in this together on some basic level, and it's a very dark notion of success that doesn't recognize that.
Well, you know, I do have friends in Silicon Valley who fit within the cliche that you've described, and I have had those conversations, and it's happened repeatedly. Somebody will come up to me and say, hey, you have to go in with us. We're getting this compound in New Zealand, and you know, when everything falls apart here, we're all going to go to New Zealand until the rockets work, and then we can all go to Mars, and we'll upload ourselves to the big computer that's orbiting Mars, or whatever the fantasy is. And I'll say, wait a second, if we can fuck up a big, pardon my language, oh, well, I don't know what your policy is on that, but
you're free.
If we can screw up a big country like the United States, what are we going to do to a little country like New Zealand? We're going to like totally trample it and make it, you know, turn to crap in 3 seconds. Like what, the problem is us, you know, like we did this. And I have a beautiful house I love. I have a beautiful family. I love where I am, but I love the overall world even more. I love to be able to go out and meet new people and find new flavors and hear new music. And that external world has been contracting due to this extreme inequality, like even in Berkeley where I live, which is about as lefty a city as you can find, there's places you can't go anymore because there's just, you know, it's just there's so many people in such stress and there's so many people on the streets. And it's one of the reasons I live here instead of Silicon Valley, because we're not quite as much of a bubble as it is across the Bay. But I want my world back. I would happily pay more taxes to have this beautiful world become more open and friendly and healthy and safe and comfortable and friendly. I think it would be the bargain of the century, but you can't just do it through charity on your own. It has to be this giant coordinated thing, which is what we call taxation. Like we have to do more of that. I think it would be an incredible bargain. If you go to a country with higher taxes that are spent just without some horrible amount of corruption, but are just spent on the public good, even if it's not always perfect, I just find like my heart opens up and I can breathe easier because you can sort of go anywhere and things are okay. And you're not going into these areas of horrible decay and suffering. And it just makes your world better. I just can't understand why people don't leap at that bargain. It's such a better world.
Yeah. People don't score it as a cost that they're paying not to be, to worry about walking too far in one direction in a city because things become, you know, more dangerous or more squalid or more, it's like, you know, or having to cross the street because, you know, there are 20 homeless people encamped on that part of the sidewalk. It just seems like there's no sense of agency. There's nothing that you feel you can personally do about it, even if you are generally philanthropic. I mean, giving some money to a homeless shelter doesn't really solve that particular problem. And yet we have this stigma associated around redistributing wealth. And there's a kind of consensus among techies, it seems, or certainly there's a kind of libertarian bias among techies that suggests that having government do anything is the wrong approach, given how inefficient it's tended to be. So,
yeah, you know, one of the unwritten histories, I tried to cover a little bit of this in my book, Dawn of the New Everything, but it needs really its own book, is starting in the 80s, but especially in the 90s, there was a deliberate propaganda effort to spread libertarian ideas in Silicon Valley. There were all these like glossy libertarian magazines that suddenly showed up and speakers and stuff. And we only recently learned that a lot of this was kind of centrally coordinated and funded by people like the Koch brothers. But the pitch back then was that, oh, it's these fuddy-duddy liberals and leftists who don't want you to have fun. And they have all these women's libbers and everything. In this libertarian future, There'll be free sex everywhere, and we'll have prostitutes everywhere, and we'll have pot will be legalized, and you'll be able to do all your drugs. And libertarianism was initially sold to Silicon Valley as this kind of hedonistic binge. That was the original pitch. Right. And it's funny. It's kind of shifted now to just kind of this pure greed and aggression. Like, you'll be existentially validated if you're the rich one at the end of the game. But it actually started out with this kind of other message that was designed to appeal to hippies.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, yeah. Getting the government off your back. And yeah, I mean, the war on drugs has been such a spectacularly ugly failure that you can justify libertarianism for quite a while just focusing on that.
No kidding. And yet the thing is that the so-called conservative libertarian people are essentially, at the end of the day, they always end up in bed with the theocratic sort of moralists, because you know, they're ultimately control freaks, and they're ultimately trying to find some way to, you know, be elite, you know. And it's you can do that by connecting with the theocracy. It just happens again and again somehow.
So let's